Warning: the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right. Thank you, Duke. You are listening to the Chili Dippers once again. I'm your host with the most, Luke Clark. Sitting across the ditch from me is a man who likes to walk into strangers' houses and make himself at home. Dave Ralston, how are you going?
Oh, gee. I'm good. You've got the dirt on me there. That was an interesting story. I was going to visit a mate of ours, Nick Morris, down in Melbourne one day, and he'd moved house. And so I said, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Oh, say 73 Williams Road." I said, "No worries, I'll come around." So I go knock on the door and no answer, but Nick's in a wheelchair, as we know. So I just sort of walk in and say hello as I'm walking in, sort of thing. And there's no one there. Popping your head in the lounge room, in the kitchen. "Hey, Nick, you about? No answer. So I figured he was just out and about doing something. He'll be home any minute. So I go to the fridge and have a glass of milk. I sit down and read the papers. Got pretty comfy. Had to go to the bathroom. So I go to the toilet. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I go past a bedroom and it's got bunk beds in it. And so I go to the toilet, and as I'm walking back, I see the bunk beds again. I'm thinking, Nick Morris is in a wheelchair. He's probably not got bunk beds in his house. So I actually give him a call and said, "Nick, I'm at your place waiting for you. You about?" And he said, "I'm at home waiting for you." And I said, "Mate, I'm at 73 Williams Road. Where are you?" And he goes, "I live at 37 Williams Road." So I got out of there quick smart and went down and visited Nick.
You know what the best thing about that story is?
What's that?
That's not even the one I was referring to. I was referring to the one in the UK.
In Washington?
Washington, I mean. Sorry, yeah, D.C.
Oh, no, jeez. Yeah, who's ever getting the dirt on me is doing a good job. Oh, that was scary, that one. I booked a hostel in Washington in D.C. I booked it months in advance. And by the time I got to Washington, I couldn't remember where it was and I couldn't remember the address. And I'm walking around and I found a house. And it had all the flags out the front. You know how hostels have all them flags out the front normally?
Yeah.
So I walk around the back and I just walk in because I thought it was a hotel. And there's two people sitting in the lounge room and they go, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm booked here to stay." And they said, "This is our house. Fuck off. Get out of here, mate." I said, "Oh, okay. Sorry about that."
I'll see myself out.
Yeah. They were real upset. Yeah, they didn't like me just walking into their house there in the suburbs of Washington.
Fair enough, too.
So that's twice. Yeah, I've got to be a bit more careful with that, I think.
Yeah, you absolutely should.
Before we get in too much, all of a sudden you're the host with the most now. Is that how we're introducing ourselves?
Yeah, I thought I'd give that a little bit of a try.
I had some feedback about you last week. Oh. There were a few people were a little bit unhappy with your lack of organisation.
Oh, I know. That's why I came in hot. And I'm going to try a new little sign off today too.
Very good. Don't get me wrong. The criticism was only because of the very high standard that you normally set. Surprised.
I'm more than happy to take on board the constructive criticism. I think a lot of the things was like, not making excuses, but the different dynamic in doing this over the phone, as in being in the same room, is a lot different.
Much easier in the same room, I reckon. Yeah, over the phone. We'll try and do as many as we can in the same room, but the tyranny of distance is what we have succumbed to at the moment, and we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, look, it's not one of my better rounds, and I was just lucky that's not going to be one of our handicap anchors, so we can just write that.
Oh, well, I was actually thinking that we got the audio was much better, so that's probably helped with our handicap, but your disorganisation didn't bring us in any shots. But all right, so what's on the schedule for today?
Well, look, it's currently Friday the 6th of April, day one of the Masters is in the books, so I think we should just continue to discuss the tourney.
Yeah, well, it is a very interesting tournament and deserves to be talked about as much as possible, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the reason why we're doing it now is, as I said on the last podcast, I'm going away for a week, so we will struggle to get another one out. We're going to do a Masters recap, which we probably will do, but it's going to be probably a week and a half after the Masters finish by the time it gets released. It's not ideal, but it's just how the Chili Dippers roll. We release them weekly, and that's sort of how it's got to be. So we got to live with that.
Enough happened in the par 3 tournament beforehand and day one to discuss, I reckon. How about, did you see that bloke hit the hole in one, jump up and down, and then smash his ankle to bits?
Let's get straight into it. Yeah, Tony Finau. Did you? Oh, obviously, everyone that's listening to this watches it. The footage was amazing. You know what it looked like? It looked like one of those YouTube clips of some girl late night drunk in high heels do the little fall over and then straighten and then comes back and then he goes again. And when he puts it back in, it just pops, just straight back into place.
I was clicking through the photos and I seen a still shot at the very worst angle, and that was enough for me. I couldn't look anymore.
Oh, you didn't see the video footage?
No, I have now. I did. The next day I did. I assumed he was out. I assumed that was it. He'll never walk again, let alone play golf. Yeah. He was leading. He was leading up with half an hour to go. That was amazing.
Until Spieth got on the birdie train. What do you have, 4 or 5 birdies in a row? Yeah, he looked like he was going to be the clubhouse leader after day one.
That was apparently during the call, the commentators barely mentioned that he broke his ankle and leg in 14 places the day before.
Dislocated.
Didn't even rate a mention, I heard one of the reporters saying, but that was stunning. Holy
They reckon he's a really handy basketball player, like he's a really decent athlete. And did you know he's actually Jabari Parker's cousin from the Milwaukee Bucks?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's got a few relatives that are fairly high in sport too. But
I was wondering, now, as you know, I'm really keen to have a hole-in-one and don't like the people that do have. But I'm thinking, if I had to do that to my ankle to get a hole in one, I'd nearly prefer not to have it.
I do it on a regular basis.
That's horrible to me.
I did it at bloody Byron Bay.
What's that, sorry?
I said I did it at Byron Bay. Remember coming out of the toilets?
Oh. No, yeah, all right. Yep. The very tiny twist. Yeah.
Tiny right. twist. I was in more strife than that bloke was.
Now, do you know what the odds are of a pro having a hole in one?
No, I don't. I did.
Well, apparently it's 2,500 to 1.
Okay.
So, and then an average golfer, let's say you, me and you, let's put us in the average golfer, what the odds there are?
Tell me.
12,500 to 1.
Whew.
Jeez, so man. I was looking up the other day, there was this girl, Cassandra Como, had 2 holes in one. While she was out having a hit playing 9 holes.
9 holes, yeah. I read about that too. Yeah, that's amazing.
64 million to 1.
I was just about to say, I think it was, 64 or 5 million to 1. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah. And did you obviously see the other hole in one?
No.
In the par 3. It was in the par 3 as well. It was GT Nicklaus. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was actually really good. He was playing, he was one of the caddies, and he... In the par 3, he was playing with Gary Player, who's just got one of the coolest voices and just seems like a really super nice guy.
Gary's cool, yeah.
Yeah, you need to see the clip because as he's hit it, as it's in the air, Gary's yelling out, "Ooh, GT, you're going to love that." And it's just, and he's just called it mid-flight bounce and he's calling it into the cup and it hits. And his kid's got a really nice swing too.
Now, how about the opposite of the hole in one?
Oh, yep. We're talking
Garcia. Did you see Sergio today? Have you actually seen it?
Oh, I did. He went full tink up.
Yeah. Well, I seen 3 of them, and all 3 were at least 20 feet onto the green and spun back in.
Yeah.
Was that the other 2 were too? None of them just went straight in the water?
No, they're all beautiful. And he even said at the end, he goes, "I've never had such a high score without missing a shot," because they were all pretty good shots.
So he's had a 13 on a par 5.
Yep.
Well, you know we had a 6 on a par 3 earlier in the day.
Actually, no, I missed that. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a 6 on a par 3, a 13 on a par 5, and 4 birdies for 9 over.
Yeah, because it was funny, because one of the prop bets I read was, will someone have more than an 11? And I was going to ask you that, and I was going to run through these in the previous show. I've got some more prop bets here, we might run through them next.
Cool.
And I was actually going to, I was going to go put money on yes, and I wish I had it, but a 13, that's actually tied the record for the highest ever.
Now, me and you are capable of playing very, very bad golf and losing multiple balls on holes. I don't think either of us have ever had a 13.
13's pretty high.
And he had a 1-putt 13. Like, you'd think at least he's had a 4-putt 13. Yeah. He holed the putt.
Yeah.
Did you hear? The other thing I found stunning was, and this is something I've wanted known for ages, they said most pros only carry about 6 balls in their bag. So he was in danger of running out of balls.
Well, he nearly did go tink up.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong, he may have had 10 or 12 or 15, but the commentator said most pros have about 6 balls in their bag, which, yeah, he said, I didn't know that, and I had wondered that, because I wonder how often they change balls during a round.
And I wonder, like, do you reckon after the second one, he's just gone, like, he's literally, surely the two words tin cup have come in, he's just thought, fuck it. Like, I'm going to go again, and I'm going to try to make the shot. It'll be the best 11 of all time sort of thing. Like, because why wouldn't you take the drop up close to the water?
Yeah, well, it might have been, I don't know. Yep, you're right. Not that it was a big wedge anyway, though. It wasn't a big wedge.
It was 188 metres. It was over 200 yards. Yeah, he was hitting.
188 yards. That's about
200 yards. It was about, which is what, 188 metres, yeah.
No, it didn't look that long to me at all, because it's his third. Surely he was. How was he still 200 out hitting his third into a par five?
Look, I could be wrong, but you can fact check that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
It might have been the total length of all five hits was 200.
regardless whether it's a...
But yeah, that was bizarre, just to have that many. And when, do you know what, so you're saying, he probably said, oh, fuck it, whatever. Well, he's not paying for $11 million. The total prize money is $11 million. I don't know what the winner gets. They spread it out a fair bit. But playing for, and I suppose, does he care about the money? Has he got made enough money in his life that he's playing. Never, actually, I reckon I've actually got his total career earnings.
Well, while you're looking that up, like, I know what you're saying, like, but I was watching Dustin Johnson when he finished his round. The last two holes today, he putted one from about sort of 8 foot and it stopped, one of those ones that stopped. It was online and stopped about a centimetre from the hole. Went and tapped it. Next one, his last hole, he had about a 4 foot putt, just shaved the edge. And I was watching that thinking, I can go out here and just you and me can have a muck around hit. If I do that and you know when you walk off the course going, oh, fuck those last two, if I just had to put a little bit more, and you're so unhappy with yourself because you could have had a 42 instead of a 44. Imagine these guys, what they feel like when they've probably just given away a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Yeah, well, Sergio, if it take out his two worst holes, he's played the rest of the course in four under.
Yeah.
how much money do you reckon he's earned career-wise? Just earned on the course, not sponsorship or anything like that.
Oh, geez, I don't know. 40 million.
70 million.
Whew, 70 million.
70. To put that in perspective, Tiger's got 160 million.
Wow.
Yep. But Greg Norman only had 14 million. That's how much the money's gone up.
that must hurt.
Greg won 88 tournaments for 14 million. Where Phil Mickelson's won 51 tournaments for $110
million. Wow.
Yeah, yep.
So there's...
there you go. Yeah, I've got a big list there of things. We can refer back to that later. So Sergio... Oh, that's the other bloke. So the guy that is coming last, Harry Ellis, is it?
Yep, Harry Ellis. Yep, 1,000 to 1 he was on our sheet at the start of the...
Yeah, well, he had 14 over, so he's had an 86.
86, yep.
I reckon in the last year I've had 86 or better probably 7 or 8 times.
Yeah. What do you reckon you'd have in Augusta, though?
Yeah, could I have 86 around Augusta on my very best day, maybe? Yeah, and I suppose it was his very worst day.
I think the greens would find us out real quick.
The greens might sort us out.
But he's saying that, what'd they say, it was 20 degrees, zero wind, so they didn't have...
Good, right. Yeah, 86 is a big number.
Look, there was a big gun. What about the bus driver? Did you see the bus driver crash the bus on the way in? Rolled it.
No,
tipped it over.
That's what happened there.
There was a guy bringing in a group of people and literally tipped the bus onto its side. He apparently got arrested for DUI drugs. a few people got injured.
It was all happening. So now, the top of the leaderboard. It's the guy I drafted but traded to you, is it?
Yeah. But the guy you drafted, Rory's not too far. We've actually done all right. Like, I think we've got three. We've got three of the top four, and the name I told you to remember.
Yes.
Yes, he's sitting third. But
I had
drafted
three guys at 29th. I had Bubba, Tiger, and someone else I drafted were all at one over. Equal 29th. So they're all still well in play.
Yeah, but, and you're Matt Kuchar sitting tied for second.
Yeah, yep. My guy Chappell went no good, though. Chappell had five over.
Like I said on Instagram, if people haven't seen it, two of my blokes I drafted, Luke List and Brooks Koepka, both didn't start, so I subbed in before the round started. Leishman and Jason Day. Day hasn't given me much, but Leishman's in the hunt. He's tied for 11.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yep. I think our mate Fixer had a bit of money on Leishman. He's back heavily, so he probably bought him in a little bit the way Fixer bets.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And how's old our roll the ankle mate, Tony Finau? He went from 101 to 201 after rolling his ankle.
He went out. Oh, gee whiz. And he said, that is still a rare. I can't believe he's walking. I can't believe he's alive.
I wonder if he didn't roll his ankle where he'd be sitting. Because I bet you he's not sitting tied for second.
Yeah, you don't reckon? Oh, you reckon he's gone worse? You reckon that's got his mind on the job? Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon that's changed a few things for him. And a couple of things I noticed. You made the comment, I think on the last pod or a couple of pods ago, that you didn't like the white pants. A few of the boys were in the white pants today. He is. We've got both Spieth and Rory are both wearing the white pants.
Yeah, well, that's why I made the comment. I noticed that they're becoming fairly prevalent. They're out there a fair bit. And as I said, they just don't do much for me. But, there's a few of them getting around in them.
I liked Kinnear's outfit with the white pants, black top, black hat was a pretty good get-up. One thing I did like about watching it today is it looked like they were making everything. They were making putts left, right, and centre. It was just, it looked like I was watching a highlight reel for most of the day. It was one of the better days of golf I've watched.
Yeah. Oh, look, I didn't see a heap of it. My work facilities don't allow for multiple television watching basketball and golf all day like your work facilities. But
in the background, of course.
I'll tell you
a couple other things I noticed that I really liked. That the yellow flag sticks with the yellow just look great, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Like they got the yellow flag and the actual flag stick itself yellow. It just oozes Augusta, I reckon, when you look at that.
Look of the course is stunning. It always is. It always has been. But, yeah, that's another thing that's very good.
Yeah, and I think watching the telecast, I think the signature hole's the 13th, the par 5 13th, the one. It's just because when you're watching, you can really get a feel for like the drive because you've got the corner, and if they're behind the tree, you know they haven't hit it. If they're past it and they've got a shot in, you know they have hit it, and then you know the water's right there, so you can get a real feel for how they're going. But what amazes me is these guys are hitting, how they get the ball to stop on the green from so far out. It's one thing to take the water on, but I'm thinking even if I was good enough to hit driver off the deck or, you know, fairway wood off the deck, my ball would hit that green and shoot off and be 30 metres behind it. There's no way I could get mine to stop on that green.
Yeah, look, you're right. As I said, I use the hardest balls possible because I need every bit of distance I get, but you actually use the soft balls like they would. And, I agree with you. Yeah. How they get it to stop and come back out of this world, that is something to behold.
Yeah, sure. Now, going back to these hole-in-ones that we said, we haven't had an actual hole-in-one in the actual Masters yet. We have had a couple in the par three. Now, just want to read a couple of prop bets here. One of the actual, on TAB, you can actually bet whether there'll be a hole-in-one or not. And at the start of the tournament, it was yes is $1.85 and no is $1.90. Now, which is virtually 50-50.
Yep.
Which is kind of weird because there's only been 28 holes in one in the history of the Masters.
Oh, you've got to take no every time then.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'd back yes just because you're cheering for it because it'd be fun. Yeah. But yeah, if there's only been 20, what's it? 1934 was the first one. So that's what?
Yep.
84 years ago.
Yep.
28, that's exactly 30% of the time. So yeah, you should be taking no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially
yeah.
considering there was three in 2016 and two in 2017.
No's the bet there every time.
You're betting no? So I'd bet yes, but for two reasons. One, I just picture, like, say, over the course of this tournament, there's going to be about 300, say the 16th green, there's going to be about 300 balls shot at that green. Whenever I picture a hole-in-one, I just picture those 300 golf balls going into a cannon and just randomly firing it at that green. You'd think one of them would find the hole.
Yeah.
And that's, let alone these pros actually aiming for it.
Yeah, I was just saying, but yeah, no. As I said, the odds of a pro is 2,500 to 1.
Yeah,
so they're not going to have 2,500 shots at it.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing too is
when they're aiming for a hole in one too. You've got to think now. 80% of them might just be aiming for a part of the green to make the putt. You know, they're not all going at the pin.
Oh yeah, yeah. I reckon at this level, most of them are though.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't say, but it depends, you know, on their score and that when they're protecting the lead or attacking and all that sort of stuff. It's funny, you listen to the commentators and they all say, oh, you know, he's just going for this part of the green. They rarely say they're going right at the pin.
Yeah. And look, the other thing too is I reckon hole-in-ones are actually pretty easy, so I'm surprised it hasn't. And, okay, the next one I've got here is for there to be an albatross, $17 to 1. which is obviously a long shot, but
that'd be two on a par five.
Yeah, that'd be worth a couple of bucks, though.
Yeah, look, yeah, they're obviously tough to get.
I'll throw a couple more weirder ones at you.
Yep.
Will the winner cry on the 18th green? Yes is $5.50 and no is $1.10.
I'd take yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm taking yes at $5.50. Yeah.
If I had to have my house on something, I'd go no. But for those odds, I think I'm taking yes as well.
Yeah, no, I'd take yes for that.
I'd like to know how they pay that out. Like the sports bets, the bookies, how do, like, if he puts his head down and covers his eyes and sort of his body's jolting up and down, then he removes it. How do they know that?
Yeah, what's an official cry?
Makes
it an official cry. Yeah, that would be interesting. That'll be interesting. We'll have a look at that when they win. We'll see if he did cry.
And I reckon I'd go, again, if I put my house on something, I'd go no. For the main reason, whoever's going to win this has won a lot before. Because the big boys are in this, and I can't see anyone.
But Tiger will cry because of the comeback. Bubba apparently cries all the time.
Would you cry?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah, just another day at the office, mate.
Me neither. I'm not a crier.
You know me. I'm carved out of granite. I'm as hard as bugger. Would I cry?
All right, and this is the last one I'm going to read out to you. I read somewhere it said, "Will the winner?" Let me start again. Who will the winner hug first, excluding their caddy? So
caddy would be Short Porridge's favourite, but he's out.
Because he's right there. Okay.
Yeah. So what? Mum, dad, wife, girlfriend.
Okay. I'll read them out to you. So at $2.25, we've got a child. So then at $6, we've got a parent.
Yep.
Wife/girlfriend is favourite at $1.65.
Yeah, that's where my money's going. Yep.
But then we've got a wife holding a child at $3.
Oh, I'd have to do some research on which one I got kids.
And then there's no hug at $8.25. Tell you what, if you knew you were in the contention at the end, you could just load up on all these bets and just do, like, you could pretend to cry, get $5.50 on yourself.
Yep. And hug no one.
And hug no one.
Yeah, just give a few bloody forearms, a few don't argue.
Shake your wife's hand.
Yeah,
high fiver.
Give her a good hearty handshake.
you could load that up into a multi and make a fortune.
Yes, yeah, no, that's the way to go. Yeah, that's outrageous things to gamble on.
Yeah, it's good. That's good though. All right, is there anything else you've noticed? The other thing I wanted to quickly mention is I love how nobody that's won the par three has actually gone on to win the Masters. So they reckon all the pros are a bit superstitious, that they don't take it too seriously for that reason. I think I'm doing the opposite if I'm them. I'm out there, I want to be the first to win them both.
Yeah, I suppose that's not a bad argument. Yeah, yep. I was aware of that strange stat that no one had won the par three.
So who won the par three? Tom Watson, did he? Is he actually in the field or is he?
I don't think Tom's playing. I think Tom's well and truly retired. Yeah. As you meant, as an old bloke coming through, but I don't think Tom's there.
No, and one last thing before we move on is, I was going to put this in the believe it or not section. The price of an egg sandwich at Augusta. Do you know how much a price of an egg sandwich is?
I'm guessing $8.
No, it's actually $1.50. The price of everything on the menu at Augusta is the exact same as it was since they started the tournament. It's a tradition thing. They haven't changed it. So it's really low.
Oh, wow. No, yeah, I thought $8 and you were going to tell me $14 and I wasn't even going to be that surprised.
Yeah.
No. So it might be a 2 and 6 or threepence or something like that from the old days.
Yeah.
All right. No, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So I thought that was very interesting.
Very good.
All right. So is there anything else from the actual today's play that you wanted to mention or bring up? Or do you want to have some questions here?
I've discussed everything I know about it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, let's move straight on to your favourite segment, Rolls. Question time.
Question time.
All right.
Did I sound like the intro?
Yeah, a little bit. I won't even bother editing, then I'll just leave you.
All right. So we're question timing. All right. So you got the questions or me?
I've got five questions here.
Oh, gee whiz.
And I've only told you about one of them. So
not five. It's getting late. You know, it's late over here in New Zealand. You know, I struggle once I go and get a bit sleepy. Things get out of hand.
Speaking of that, I was gonna open with this one with the first questions. Are you wearing clothes? You got clothes on today?
Oh yeah, I am. I have got pants and a shirt on at the moment. Yes, unusually, I'm very, very comfortable in just jocks at home these days. very comfortable living alone. And,
I'd
come in from outside before the start of the show, so I'm still closed.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, I'm going to go and read out some questions. You're going to give me some. Well, we're both going to answer it. So the first question comes in from a person you know very well, Drago. Craig Patrick has sent this in via email. So his email reads, "G'day, Chili Dippers. Great show. Just wondering what you would do. What you would do in the following situation. There is a guy playing in front of you who is hitting two or three balls after his tee shot and holding you up and not calling you to play through. Do you A, whistle a couple past his ears? B, politely ask if you can play through? C, play through anyway? Or D, go tell the pro?"
Well, it's not D. It's not go tell
the pro. No, definitely not.
There's no need to dob on him. And it's not play. It's a combination of one and two.
Yeah.
It's the first. Hey, mate, you're playing a few balls. You mind if we hit through? And then if you're not getting the right response there, not about whistling past his ears. I whistle him into the back of his head. you get a few one irons and flatten them out and smack them into his spine.
See, but I was with you until that. I don't want to kill the bloke or injure him. Like my legit answer would be like you'd ask to play through. But if he knew you were there, that changes everything. If he doesn't know you're there, then I can cop it. If he knows you're there and he's doing it anyway, I'm hitting up on him. Just enough to let it, like, not to take him on the full, but I honestly, I'm probably hitting up a few up on him just to let him know I'm there.
Yeah, no, look, yeah, funny you say that, though. I reckon it's incredibly rare that you run into people that ridiculous on the golf course. Most blokes let you play through, no worries. I know we do. We're never in a hurry. We're always happy for blokes to play through. But, rudeness like that needs to be dealt with and dealt with properly, too. Yeah, as I said, so... No, a few Wilsons into the back of his head should sort him out.
A few Wilsons. Right. Rocking them good
Unless
balls, Ross.
If it's Drago, you can play in front of us and take your time, mate, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming this is a 60-year-old bloke who's about 5'4" and 70 kilos, not a giant monster like Drago.
I was playing with Drago the other day and he hit a ball into slice one off the tee and I said, and I yelled out four last minute. And because I seen some people through the trees and he couldn't. So he didn't. And as he was walking, he goes, "Oh, geez, thanks for yelling out for there and see him." I said, "Mate, when you walk over there, I don't think you're going to get much of an argument. Just go get your ball."
Yeah, Drago isn't self-aware enough to realise that he wouldn't get much of an argument. He's too nice a bloke. But yes,
that's, I'll tell you what I do love about Drago's golf game is he's one of the few big blokes that... You know, that everyone knows is strong but he doesn't let it go to his head when he plays golf. He's got a nice, short, easy, controlled swing rather than just trying to smack it and beat you down the fairway sort of thing, which is
good. Yeah. I'll have to get around with Drago soon. He's a good fellow. He'd be good to play golf with.
Yeah, he is.
I reckon?
Yep.
All right. So I think we've helped that out. What's next, mate?
Question two. This comes in from another person you know and you see on a regular basis. And I really like this guy's name. I like saying it. Bryce Moisson. This come in from?
Oh, well, so Bryce has got a question because I work with Bryce every day, he's nearly qualified for his own segment. I've got some things to discuss about Bryce. I'll see how his question goes, and then I might bring up some things later on about how Bryce goes about his day-to-day life.
Okay, so he starts off, I love the start of this, "Hello, Luke and Davis."
He's an idiot. He's such a weirdo.
Okay. You go, this question has got you written all over it. Have you heard the news? I don't know how long ago you sent this in because I dug this out from a while. Have you heard the news that Chris Isaak has been found with new children locked in his wardrobe? What are your thoughts on this? Also, I just wanted to ask, if you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family think you had done? That's a great question. Then he finishes off with, "I love the cut of your jeans."
Oh, well, that's the first thing about him. The other day, he asked for some advice at work, so I give it to him, and he goes, "Oh, good advice, Dave. I like the cut of your jeans." And I said, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And he goes, "I like the cut of your jeans." And I said, "It's a like the cut of your jib, mate." And he goes, "What's a jib?" And he's sticking with it. Oh, fuck, I lost it when he said I like the cut of you. Because he's not trying to be funny. He was fair dinkum. So as I said, that was one of the weirdo things I wanted to tell you about him. So he's called me Davis as well. He's an idiot. the other day he told me Chris Isaac got that fat, he got stuck in the doors of a Japanese subway train. he has got something against Chris Isaac, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah, he tells me he's a pedophile and everything. So we haven't heard that he had children in his garage or whatever he said.
I was about locked in his wardrobe. I was about to say I hadn't heard it. But anyway, if you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family think you'd done?
Sorry, can we go back? Chris Isaacs is a genuinely nice guy and a very talented musician.
I agree.
Yes, Bryce. I couldn't believe he was telling me he got that fat. He got stuck in a Chinese subway. But where did you get the? All right, if we got arrested, I've lost it because Bryce, he's just one of those fantastic lunatics. Really good.
I'll give you my answer because I read this day and I'm thinking, what can I do here? I'm thinking of all the, the ones that So I thought, I went out at work and I went to Bushy. I said, Bushy. Question. I said, if I got arrested and you didn't know what was for, what would be the first thing you would come to mind that you'd think I'd done? You know what his answer was?
What?
He goes, a decent exposure.
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought, actually, that's because I've done a few nudie runs in my time. If there was a couple of back in the uni days, I could have easily got caught doing that. So that's probably, but he just got this look on his face. I was like, oh, what's this going to be? I thought, that'll work out.
Fair enough. Look, I know what a lot of people would say about me
new children locked in your wardrobe.
Yes, yeah, they'd say the basement. They finally found the Fritzl style basement and got the kids out. But no. If I got arrested, it'd probably be some sort of espionage, some trying to get money for nothing type thing.
What position is he? What's he do at work?
He's my assistant.
Ah. Because he claims to be your superior.
He's a 22-year-old kid who's been there 2 minutes, and he's clearly my assistant.
Well, he says that you will try to say he's your assistant.
he's barely my assistant. He's whatever the lowest ranking officer we can have at LOSCAM.
Well, Bryce Moyson, I'm on your side, mate. I think you're easy superior.
All right. I've got a What's Better for later, and the last What's Better is Bryce Moyson inspired. So that will get the discussion back to him, and it'll show you how much of a – when I say weirdo, I mean that in the nicest, possible, greatest, funnest way. But
I already like him. Yeah. All right, moving on to question three. Now, question three's come in from someone you know, but they wanted to remain anonymous for some reason.
So do they want to remain anonymous because they don't want me knowing them to influence the answer or they just being a jerk?
I honestly don't know. Honestly,
am I friends with them or not friends with them?
You are friends with them.
But they want you to... Yeah, see... I don't like that at all. This is my show. And if someone rings you up...
Your show,
and it says block number, you don't answer it.
I do.
So why would I answer a question when I don't know who's asking? Asking and me. I'm still getting in trouble for saying my.
Well, but I'm going to give you the question anyway. The question is, if you made the pro tour, who would you have as your caddy and who would you not have as your caddy? And he wants, friends, not... professional caddies.
Yeah, well, I had a question similar to this a long time ago for our discussion, and you deemed it not worthy of getting a mention, but now someone else has written it in, you've deemed it worthy. Oh, so
might
I don't
have been
know about
how
that,
well
either.
This one was worded.
All right, yeah, probably. All right, so look, I would have Snoz. Snoz is my choice of caddy for sure.
Okay.
Knows me game, knows golf. Level-headed and knows when to attack and when not to. And actually, one of the few blokes our age still strong and fit enough to carry a bag around for 18 holes. Snoz is me caddy without a worry in the world. Who's not me caddy? Oh, Fixer. Fixer's not me caddy. wouldn't get around 18 holes and doesn't want me to make par. He just wants me to make birdie or double bogey. So not Fixer, and is Snoz. Is either of them the person who wrote the question in?
One of those two is.
Ah, there you go. All right. Oh, well, who is it then?
Yeah, I'm not telling. Okay, so now the person I'm choosing to be my caddy would actually, I would, all jokes aside, I would answer this seriously. I'd probably choose my brother. Because
I thought you were going to say me then. It'd be
hear me out. Right. I've got written down here my brother Adam Clark, mate. Because you know he knows how to think his way around the course, and like you said with your choice, he knows my game. And I've actually got next to that HM, which stands for honourable mention, Rolls. So there you go. I think you'd be able to help me around the course just because I was watching the goal show the other day and I can't remember who it was, but one of the pros was saying he's got his best mate as his caddy and he said he doesn't know anything about golf. He cannot play to save himself. He said, but I just want someone there to have a joke and keep me, you know, keep me grounded and have fun with it.
Yeah, no, I reckon I can help you around the course.
But the only problem is like, you wouldn't be able to make it around 18 carrying your bag. That's the only problem there. So
I'd want you to be playing a 3-club event or something. I don't want you all 4 clubs.
Therefore, you're also not my caddy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just for that exact reason.
All right. So Snozzle fixed what? Now that even it's been answered, now that we still can't find out who sent that in.
Until this person allows me to tell you, no.
It'd fix, wouldn't it? Snozzle, I don't think Snozzle has got a working phone. I haven't heard from him for years.
Might not have been by phone. All right. Question 4.
What was it, my character pigeon?
These are all coming in from people you know. So question 4 is from a good fellow named Nick Trask has sent this one
my
in.
My boss. Nick, we always have to mention that he's my boss. He loves getting mentioned that he's the boss, but that's all right.
Yes. He says, hello, homicide and wrecking ball.
Very good.
Question time from an avid listener. Love the nicknames. Can we please hear them mentioned at least once a show? Now, right. He says, I'm a big-time hacker who tries to hit the ball as hard as I possibly can and as far as I possibly can, fair to say with mixed results. However, when it comes to putting, I am horrible and really struggle with the speed of my shot. Can you both perhaps provide an approach or some tips that I should or could use when attempting to putt?
Well, firstly, I didn't think that was the question Nick was going to ask. So I thought, especially when you mentioned the nickname, because but that's okay. That might come later.
That's all right. Yep.
So he wants to control the pace of his putting.
Mm. Just become a better putter in general. I'll answer this seriously. I've actually got a two. I consider myself an okay putter.
Yep.
And I'll give you two tips that I think really help. One of them, going back to my brother again, he actually told me this a long, long time ago. I don't even know if he puts it into play, but my first two practice swings, I don't look at the ball, I look at the hole, and I really visualize hitting the ball, and I picture the ball coming off my putter and taking the line and going in. And I reckon when you do that swing, you can really think, oh, geez, that would have come off way too hot. And I don't putt the ball until I've actually got the visualization ball in the hole.
Yep.
So that's one of mine. And the second one, which I don't do enough of, and that's to look at your putt from all angles. I honestly reckon, I've said this before on course, every time you putted, if you had to look from the opposite side back at your putt, I reckon you'd save 2 or 3 shots around easy.
Yep, I'm with you. That's the thing. I notice my putting, if I actually take me time and care about it, I putt much better, but I do rush. I just hurry through it. Look, the simplest tip I would give, Nicholas, would be stop barracking for Collingwood. They're shit house. and relax your grip. People end up strangling the putter grip, I reckon. And yeah, he wants a fatter grip, I reckon. Get the fatter grip, I reckon you'll like it, because that's going the way you are, getting fatter. And it'll suit.
Get the Nick Trask version.
Yeah, get the Nick Trask grip. The big, fat, soft grip.
That was my line there, Nick, was just for comic relief. I'm not on board here.
Yeah, but and get out on the course. Don't keep telling me we're going to play every weekend and play once a summer. Let's get out there more than that, and then your putting will improve greatly. Yeah, there's some tips for the boss man, Nick Trask.
He'll get out there once I come back.
Yeah, right.
Righto. So last question, question 5. This one comes in from someone you may or may not know. It's coming by email from a guy named Harry Stamper.
I know Harry.
Right? You know Harry, do you?
Yes.
Good, good. He says, what up, Chili Dippers? Love the show, particularly Clarky. He is so professional, funny, and sounds like he would be a very handsome fella.
Oh, yeah, all right. This is, yep.
My question is, we have heard, this comes on from, we have heard what your boxing nicknames would be, but you guys really should have golfing nicknames. If so, what would they be? And then he finishes with, Clarkie, keep up the good work. Rolls, you could lift a little.
Yeah, well, that sounds fair and reasonable. Now, funnily enough, Nick Trask, who you mentioned previously, had the exact same question.
Did he? How did he get that in? To you?
He texted it to me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he had the same question. He texted it to me, our golf nicknames.
Him and Harry Stanford.
But yes, I'll answer it for Trasky as well, if he's still listening from the spray I just gave him. Because we actually went around, and I got a few suggestions in of that, because I got asked. So have you got any? What nicknames did you have?
Yeah, well, I've got two. I've got one I'd like to be called, and one that I'm surprised I'm actually not called. Actually, I've got
a couple too.
Okay. The one I'd like to be called is Disco, because I'm always somewhere near a dance floor. Whether I'm out at the clubs, whether I'm playing golf, I'm trying to get on the dance floor at all times. So I reckon that name would suit me. And I just like the sound of it. Disco sounds.
Disco's just a cool nickname.
Yeah, and it can go with your second name too, like Disco Clark. That works. Yeah, so I really like that. I want that to stick.
Yep.
I call myself the surgeon when I've got the 60-degree wedge in my hand, just because with that club, I am a surgeon.
We all call you the butcher, but you call yourself the surgeon. That's fine.
But there's one I thought might have stuck a while back. Me, my brother, and a few of the boys, we played in a – geez, he's getting mentioned in this one a lot. We played in Ambrose at Jubilee one day, and it was one of those football club ones, bit of a muck-around one. At the end of the day, they were selling raffle tickets. And we all bought raffle tickets, and the guy reading out the names is every time he pulled a raffle ticket out, he had to stare at it for like 3 minutes, and he's showing the person next to him, he's like, oh, I can't read that. I can't read. He's trying to. And I said to Adam, I said, who the fuck can't write their name on a fucking raffle ticket clear enough that that bloke can actually understand it? And with 2 seconds later, the bloke pulls out a ticket, he goes, Wiley Clark. I've just gone, yep, and jumped up and walked up and grabbed me prize. So Wiley, I thought might have actually stuck.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, you're not really nicknamed up. It's just Clarkie, isn't it?
Yeah, which pisses me right off. I've got a heap of muck around nicknames that people joke, but not one that's stuck and I get that gets used.
Well, you're in my phone as Unit.
Yeah, I was telling someone that the other day, and they did, and Bushies as well.
Yeah, because you're the big Unit.
Yeah, after you tell yours, a couple of golf, like the Big Easy is a good nickname, I reckon.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Yeah, well, I actually had Martin Kennedy sent this one in to me, which I don't really get because he reckons my nickname should be the 70s porn star, because I'm always trying to get it in the hole from the bush.
Yep.
I don't understand that sort of reference, but
it's, it'd be tough to call you that on a regular basis.
Yeah, yep. The other one, someone said they should call me Batteries because I'm never included.
Yeah, like that.
Yep. Someone else said White Ant because you can't get rid of me, so they wanted to call me White Ant. Oh. Goodza, Goodza wants to call
Which
me Goodza? Cannon. A young Goodza.
Yeah.
Young Goodza wants to call me Cannon now, not because I hit it, because you know those ornament cannons you have when you go into those old towns and in the parks?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't work and they can't be fired.
Cannon. Yeah, I like, and Cannon's a good golf nickname too. And it'd suit your game too, because you're not a cannon off the tee.
Yep.
And you got all right, that's you. That's Cannon.
Yeah, but I thought, because they don't work and can't be fired, I thought that was good. The nicknames I had were White Lines.
White Lines.
Because I'm always down the middle. The other one was Siri, because I have an answer for everything.
Siri, yep. I still reckon Cannon's the one.
Cannon, all right, yeah. Well, that's your hip.
Cannon Ralston.
Doesn't work and can't be fired.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, well, now that's all I've got on nicknames.
Yep, that's very good. And that brings us to the end of question time. Now, we're running at 44 minutes so far. Do you want to do a what's better? I don't care how long this goes for. People can turn off if they're not interested.
Look, I've got one ready to go. That's long enough. Do you want to save it for another show or your call?
Yeah, okay, let's do that. Let's wrap it up now. I've gone 44 minutes. It is my favourite segment, but we'll finish this pod shortly. So any last thoughts on day one of the Masters roles?
No, it's too late for me to think of anything. I'm going to bed.
All right, well, that will do for part two of our Masters special. We'll wrap it up here. Until next time, work on your swing, talk some trash. Over you, Hornsby Chili Dippers, out.
See ya.
Working on the swing and talking trash, did another good hit, try to make